Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Hello, hello, hello. I'm Kay Thompson, and welcome to Kay Thompson Live. We do have a good show for you tonight, and we're going to be talking to our partners in crime. Our partners, our co-hosts, Mal Walfook, and he'll be calling in. Wayne Gilman will be calling in. Byron Saunders will be calling in. And Eric Payne. He may be on assignment for movie, and working. However, we expect him to be calling in, too. So, what's new? What's up? What's out? What's up? What's down? Everything is really on point. On point because of the fact that we think that Trump may be on the way out. Possibility? Yes? No? Do we have a caller calling in? Byron? Is Byron there? Byron Saunders there? Okie doke, and we're waiting for Byron to click in. Yeah. Let's see what's doing up. Yeah, something is wrong here. Wrong. Something is wrong in River City. Anyway, hello, everybody. You know, there's a whole lot going on, you know, tonight. And also with what's going on in New York City. Wow. New York City, you know. Bad news. Bad news. It's too crowded, number one. Lots going on with all kinds of negative stuff. And if you think you want to come to the Big Apple, so it used to be called, I would think twice, really, seriously. It's crowded. It's a lot of people. A lot of people are doing negative and really negative and nasty things. You know, so you really have to be careful when you walk to those streets in New York City. And I'm not kidding. Having worked over there on the air on WLIBBLS for a long period of time, Let's go and see
Hello,
if we have Byron Saunders on the air. Yes, Byron, hi. Waiting for you. What's up?
I am in the swamp in D.C. I came down here to help usher him out of office. One of us has got to come down and do this. So I got off the bus this afternoon, come here to make sure we can push him out for good. Now, where do you want me be moving to?
You want me to tell you?
Yes, of course.
I don't think that's allowed. I don't think that's allowed, but somewhere in outer space. Okay.
Ooh, beyond the Milky Way somewhere. Okay.
Beyond the Milky Way, you know, beyond the Milky Way. God, I'm telling you, we have a disaster in the White House.
Yes, we do. But you know what's really interesting? Because I'm here actually at the VA hospital visiting a very dear friend of mine. And just so to note, because we lost a good friend this past couple days, Kay, Bernard Marsh passed away.
I know. I think Byron, it's funny that you should say that because Bernard was a friend of mine. And I have it on my list because I did not mention him. And
yes,
good friend. On Broadway.
Yes.
Broadway person.
Yes, on Broadway.
Big name. Yeah.
He was a good friend, and I really enjoyed it. He did a UB for me in Atlanta, Georgia. And, of course, he was in the Broadway production of UB. And so, we met. Yes. He was in the original production. And and he wrote a wonderful book. Remember, we were trying to get him on your show, and he couldn't make it that week. And, you know, so.
But I had interviewed him sometime before you. Listen, Byron,
yes.
I interviewed Bernard sometime, long time ago, before, you know, you came on with us. So I knew him.
Yes.
I knew him well, and I have very a lot of respect for him. Plus, he was a good friend and a very, very talented dancer. Okay?
Very talented.
Actor.
Yes. So, as I said, I'm down here at the VA hospital visiting a dear friend of mine, Francois Craig, who actually works for the federal government here in D.C. We're always having that conversation about what's going on at the White House and when we're going to get this guy out of office. So he's sitting here recuperating from a little mild injury, but he's going to be all right. But I said, Fran, you're going to do the show with me tonight. So I'm at the VA hospital in Washington. And so, but you know what? I am encouraged regarding how he is being pushed to the edge. We know Gerald Adler and his committee have taken out the went to the judge who has granted them subpoena powers to bypass the Justice Department and go directly to the court to issue subpoenas when they need it. And of course, Donald Trump Jr. was at the Senate hearing this afternoon. But the elements that are squeezing him and pushing him back into the corner and ultimately out of office, and as much as we'd like to rush to, I guess, justice, some of it will come to pass with, even with Pelosi the other day admitting she would like to see him in jail. And so it's coming. It's coming, Kay. Definitely is.
Yeah. It can't come too soon.
That's exactly right. And even if it does come right 2 days before the election, that'll be great. Because at the point at which we need to make sure the American public hears the truth relative to what's in the Mueller report, and there are still underlying elements that have not been resolved as a result of the report indicating that there were other indictments that were forthcoming. So now they've been parsed out to the Ninth Circuit District in New York, the Superior Court District here in D.C. So there's still surprises along the way. And I am convinced, Kay, that it's just not about getting Trump. It's about getting Mitch McConnell. It's about getting Paul Ryan, Rance Priebus, because the entire GOP structure really participated in the obstruction of justice. They participated and had to collude with Russia. You know, because the point is, if you've convinced in the Mueller report that Russia engaged in hacking our system, and the ultimate end was to elect the Trump's administration, then who did they collude with? They didn't collude with Hillary Clinton or the Democratic Party. They had to collude with somebody inside the GOP.
And you know one thing? Trump has said that he'll do it again, what he did, colluding.
Yeah, of course he'll do it again.
As for him to admit to doing it, well, not really, but we all know he did, and he did. Yeah. And then saying it again, he's got a lot of nerve. And he thinks he must think that the American people are dumb or something. And
well,
I think more of us need to wake up and do something about it. And the
that's
true. But I mean, you know, really, you know, seriously, get out and let's get out and you know, if we have to do rioting, even, you know, because this is saving the country, really.
It really is, and one thing is important.
And everybody should participate in this, by the way.
Right, the Fourth Estate, the news media, have to start calling him out in public, in his face, when he's lying. They have to say to him, "You're lying. We know for a fact you are lying. We have the facts right here in front of us, and we're not going to allow you to bamboozle the public in this manner." They got to start saying that, Kay. They haven't quite crossed that line yet, but once they start to engage in that kind of confrontation about facts and truth only, he will be placed in a box where he belongs, because he can't defend against the truth. Point blank.
Okay,
but
we
have
somebody else. All right, who else is this calling in? You're on the air. Who's this?
I guess that must be me. Good
Yay!
Evening, Kay.
Been waiting
Byron.
For you.
Yeah. Okay. Delayed by mass transit, but I'm here.
Good. Join us.
Yeah. I was just listening to your comments. Yeah, I know that something has to be done. You know, I feel that most of the country is looking for a change, but my biggest concern is the ignorance and the preponderance of what is ignorant being spewed by the conservative media in this not just this town, but across the country. And there are a lot of people who are not fact-checking everything that goes on. And I agree. I mean, he needs to be called out, but he's so arrogant that he'll turn around and come up with an answer for anything that goes on. I mean, it's like he lies. They do things to belittle the Democratic candidates. You know, he's got his focus on Biden. Maybe it's because he's the front runner, and at this juncture, he's a front runner. But you know, if I were Donald Trump, I would be overly concerned about the legal ramifications of half the things that he's been, you know, indirectly accused of having done. And you know, I guess his intention is to go out in a blaze of glory, and he feels he'll have the support for it.
Uh huh. Yeah.
You know.
What do you think, Byron? Do you think that he thinks he'll really have the support?
Oh, he does.
He's
He's delusional. First and foremost, he is delusional.
Among other things.
He's narcissistic, and the profile of the narcissistic individual is delusion. They really feel as if they're impervious to any anything, and can get away with everything. And that's why I said personally, I said this last week, that he operates in his diplomatic concept is as actually operating as what I said last week was through extortion. Notice how he pushes Mexico to engage in a conversation about the tariffs, the immigration, and what we're going to do to you if you don't do this. That's called extortion, ladies and gentlemen. That's not diplomacy whatsoever. And we have to start calling it that, because that's the way he bullies. The bully person in him is to extort out of whoever he's in contact with the way he wants to manipulate you. And that's a part of a profile of the narcissist. And once we start psychologically breaking him down so that the American public can understand why he says what he says, when he says what he says, and then challenging him on facts and truth, that it will come back to the point in which we can push him further back into the corner where he cannot defend himself.
Well,
do you know one thing? Go ahead, Wayne.
No, I was just going to say that I think he's been pushed to the corner, but you know, the problem is it's just not enough of it is happening, and we're still divided as far as the opposition is concerned. The Democrats, you know, some are saying impeach, some are saying, you know, Pelosi doesn't think that's the way to go. By 2020, you know, we should be pretty well in lockstep with what needs to be done. The greatest impeachment as far as, and I've heard Biden say, is to vote this man out of office, you know, and let the legal process that he is trying to evade begin, you know. By 2020, there should be enough information and a lot of legal documents would have been filed by then to supersede anything else that's going on currently. And you know, whole family. I'm just curious as to how they're going to play this whole thing out. And of course they got friends in high places, but even no one should be above the law. That's the problem with what's going on now. He's running this country as if this is a dictatorship, you know, it's under authoritarian rule, and he's above everything. He's the bottom line, you know.
One thing that happened the other day, which I was very encouraged by, is when John Dean was being grilled by the Republican hacks in that hearing, John Dean stood up and he punched right back at him in a very professional way and said, "You want to play with me like this? Come on, because I know how to strike back out at you." And what is being seen is the American public, for the first time, is seeing how someone who was a Republican
right,
engage in a sword fight with these new arrogant SOBs who think that they are constitutional supporters are actually obstructionists. And he put them back in their place instantly.
Yeah. I you know, I missed the hearings. I wanted to see that, but I saw the highlights. And, you know, I have much respect for John Dean and anyone who went through the process. And I'm so glad that he is still around to be a participant in this, you know, because although he is showing the parallels between what's happening now and what happened then, again, the difference is that there was no social media back then. There was no Fox. Well, I mean, there was always conservative media, so I guess that's one thing. But, you know, the deal is it's just everything was out in the open. It was in your face. And Nixon at some point got to the point he realized that he couldn't go any further, you know, and that's it. But this man, I have a feeling that they may have to call a militia just to remove him from office. Because he feels like he's conquered the world, you know.
But
he thinks he's Christopher Columbus or something. You
know?
You
know one thing,
well,
I can't really figure this out. Now, he's been in office for how many months? Okay, he's there, and I still don't hear enough people speaking out against this present administration. Okay. We all know he's a fool. We know he's dangerous. We know he's that vile, okay? He has all these elements that are so negative, okay? So why is it that more people aren't speaking out about this idiot who is in the White House? Whoops, he's not an idiot. He's maneuvering.
And the
people are going for him.
You know, there are a lot of people who are, and then there are a lot of people who are silent out of fear.
Why are they silent?
You know?
Why are they afraid?
The only thing I can think of is that maybe their purse strings are tied to somebody's rule that somehow indirectly, you know, has some conduit to his office. I don't see it because the bottom line is that, you know, the one thing about this government is that we are a system of checks and balances, and if we were to basically uphold and go according to what the Constitution calls for, you know, there's no reason why this man will have a chance to stay. And quite frankly, the impeachment, I think Mueller spelled it out. Here's a Republican who spelled it out the other day that it's Congress's duty to see to it that a spotlight be shined on all the alleged improprieties that were brought forth in the investigation. So, you know, I think there's enough talk about it, but I think the problem is that there's so much back and forth between the other side, and the media also plays a game in this too, because they're making money on this. And this is where I find it disingenuous tonight, and I really have to agree with Byron about checking people, because, you know, the bottom line is that we would want to think that our press, especially, you know, the press, the legitimate press, is doing things in the interest of the public. You know, I can't think of the slogan that the Washington Post goes by, but the deal is that we can't stay in darkness. You know, things have got to come to light. And we're in an information vacuum. And more importantly is that this information vacuum is so convoluted by what the conservative press is putting out and what their people would want people to understand and say. It's just one of those things. And Americans, I think, are largely, especially when you leave the flyover states, you know, particularly the flyover states, there's a lot of ignorance out there, you know. They want to see a return to what happened.
Or is it that people just don't care anymore?
No, I don't think.
Okay.
I don't want to think people. Listen, let me tell you something. There are hot button issues out there, Kay. The economy could go under at any time. You know, healthcare is like paramount. You know, you don't know how serious healthcare is until you've gotten sick
or someone in your
family's been impacted by it. And
absolutely.
I think for those reasons alone, you know, people are going to go out and vote with their hearts and their pocketbook. Those two reasons, you know.
Kay
Wait a minute, Byron.
Yeah,
Byron, wait a minute.
Yes.
Why do you think, really, seriously, think deeply. Now, Trump has been in the White House for a little while now. So what has happened to American people? Or is it the fact that no one is really interested in the government? Or people are sick and tired of being sick and tired? What is that? Remember that our movement? Remember the Black Power movement? Where are these people? Where are we? Why aren't we getting out there on the streets, in the streets, in your neighbors, wherever, all over the world, and talking against this nut house who is in the White House? Don't you know that he has control over a whole lot of people and they're going for it? So what do we do about it? And more people need to come out and wake up.
Well, Kay, I'm sitting here with a very astute individual who can answer some of those questions. His name is Francois Craig. He has been in the civil rights movement. He currently works for the federal government here in Washington, D.C., and he has an opinion which is very profound. So, Francois, share with us your concept of what's going on.
Okay, yes, you can talk, Francois. Please talk. Thank you.
Hello, Kay. How are you? Well, we really need to establish is we can't depend on anyone else to do what we need to do. And the first thing we need to do is have a paradigm shift. So we got to look at things differently. So they are racist. They need to be called racist. And we need to call them racist. And we need to stand on them being racist, because the one thing they hide under is a cloak. When every time you call them a racist, they don't like it. Now, where's our leaders? You know, guess what? Bull Connors was down in Alabama killing people. We marched in 62, 63. Why are we out in the streets now? Where is our leaders? See, this is what really get me is, you know, we got a boat getting ready to be named after John Lewis. To hell with the boat. We need John in the street. We don't need to talk about Selma. Selma's gone, dead and gone. We're talking about this right now. We need to quit talking about the Million Man March, and let's talk about, guess what? Let's talk about the 10 million brown people march, right? So if we get the 10 million brown people march, and that's calling brown people, people of color, to this march, guess what? Because then we can bring everybody, and everybody's going to come on Washington, and they're going to see. And as they did when Charlottesville went down, and the Ku Klux Klan came out, and they started marching. But when they got to Boston and they found out that all them people who showed up, do you know how many Ku Klux Klan showed up? A handful. They backed up. The police had to give them special protection to get the hell out of the city and do the same thing here. We need to quit paying attention to what the television has done to us. Every time you look on TV, you see a white folk. You know what? It's psychological warfare. They have told you that they are more them than us. That's a lie. We've been having babies since the, 1400s. And they can't have no babies. And they sit up here and manipulate you and everybody else in America that there's more of them than us. It's not true. They've even told the lie and said there's more Hispanics here than us. That's a damn lie. That's why the Census Bureau will never go out of business, because they can't count. Now, and they don't count accurately. So what we need to do, small story, you know what? Come together. And you know what? We need that woman. Where's that woman who's going to be that matriarch and that leader?
Yeah.
Where is that new revolutionary man who's going to come up and be that leader? We need some people who are, guess what? As you know, Dick Gregory asked, he says, are you willing to be a frontline soldier? So we need to put the frontline soldiers on the street. And we need to call a day, or we can call Juneteenth Day a damn day of celebration. How about Juneteenth Day a day of marching on the United States in Washington, D.C.? This is what we should be doing. We ain't got shit to celebrate. We need to be. We really, really need to be out there in the trenches and doing what we need to do. Where's Al Sharpton? There's no money involved in this. We're just trying to do the right thing.
Well, are you saying, what are you trying to say there, sir?
He just said it. And here, here.
Part of what is indicating is that the media is being controlled by a right-wing organization, like Fox and Murdoch and Sinclair and the Koch brothers. And ultimately what happens is the paychecks that are being written for the talking heads are the ones who are controlling the editorial commentary.
And it's called propaganda.
That's it.
Do you remember, and let me throw something at you. Back in 1963, 64, 65, I was a kid. And one of the things that would come on the evening news were Walter Cronkite. And Walter Cronkite had the most famous saying, "I don't make the news, I just tell it." And that was so profound, because that's what journalism was just telling what happened, not creating it. What we have doing now, we have a lot of people creating sensationalism, and that's all they do, because they don't know what journalism is. Now, here's where it was in the 63, 64. We would have all the stuff from Germany, from Russia, and we would be taught about what is propaganda. Do not believe propaganda. Do you remember the actors who were being considered Nazis and communists and everything else based on propaganda? So propaganda is what we are using now, the stuff we used to fight all the time. So that's the reason why you can't believe this news junket. And so, you know, we've got to create our own news, you know.
Uh-huh.
And as we create it like Dr. King did. We take it to the street, and they cannot deny us. And let me share one other thing. Minister Louis Farrakhan, when he was organizing Million Man March, every city he would go in, and he would go to every civic center, and he would tell you at the end of the speech, he said, "How many seats is in this auditorium?" 16,000 seats. "Okay, is it full, people? Look around and see if it's full. Is there any empty seats?" "No, there would not be any empty seats." "How many people are in here?" "Everybody stand up. We got 16,000 people in here." Now, when you get home tonight and when you watch your evening news, listen to the numbers they tell you that showed up for this Million Man March that we are trying to organize. And true enough, in every city, they would say, "Oh, only 6,000 showed up. Only 5,000 showed up. Or 8,000 showed up." They never told the truth. So,
you know,
if they want to keep you as a minority, you're going to think small. If you think small, you're going to be small.
Okay. Now, listen, what is your name again?
Francois.
What is your name again? What is it?
Francois Craig.
Francois Craig. When are you running for president, Francois? Francois Craig, everybody. Where are you from? Tell the people right now. K-Town Salat. Francois Craig is on the air on K-Town Salat. I'm inviting you back again whenever you want to come back up.
I would love to have that opportunity.
And the next time we talk, let me know, because you sound like the voice of reason. You sound like a strong African American man. Okay?
Yes.
So, Francois Craig.
Right.
So, please.
And, you know,
thank you, Byron.
You're very welcome. Now, Francois is from Charlotte, North Carolina.
And Francois, you're invited back anytime.
Okay, and I just want to leave you with this last quote from
Gil Scott-Heron
said, New business will wait until our old business is straight. And our old business relates to the jobs left undone. So we got a lot of work that's left undone. We don't need no new. We need to handle this now.
Oh, yeah. So true.
And you know, That's right.
Send your donations to the campaign to elect Francois Craig.
Okay. We will support you completely. We'll like you. Thank you very much.
We do have people out here who listen, who know. And because we've been listening to fake news purporting what we as a nation, in terms of African American people, he's right. We've been making babies since 1619,
right.
When we landed in Virginia. And you know, because you're from Tazewell, Virginia. You know, come on now. How many cousins you got down there? Y'all know y'all were making babies, okay?
Yeah, not nobody.
Oh, boy.
That's right. Okay.
Get the kid to blush now, Byron.
Okay.
Well, you heard my invitation, okay? Wow. Thank you. Okay, so what did the rest of you have to say about the man who was just declared someday running for the presidency? Maybe.
I personally think
he's on point. You know, I really, there's a lot to be said, and I don't want to minimize. You know, all right, I'm probably around Mr. Craig's age, or maybe a little older. You know, I wish I had his voice, but the deal is that you know, the Panthers were very effective, but we got some movements out here now by some young people who are just as outspoken, I think. You know, the Black Lives Matter movement, All Lives Matter. I mean, there's so many different, the Me Too movements. There's so many different things that this president will have to confront, you know, in his bid to seek another term. And I think that those voices are so loud, is such a crescendo that you'll hear across this country, you know.
Yeah.
And then you've got, you know, people like us who've seen what has happened in the past, and you juxtapose what's going on then with now. And, you know, a lot of us are just fed up, and we're not ready to take it anymore again. You know, I really believe that. And,
exactly.
But I also feel that, you know, the media has clouded a lot, and it's unfortunate. So many of us sit here and we are glued to what comes across that tube, you know. There was a time that, you know, we would openly, you know, read something, and I try to keep up with certain newspaper articles and periodicals by going on the internet, but the immediate source of information still remains radio and TV. And unfortunately, once you can see and visualize what's happening, I think that has greater control over what we used to do in radio. And, you know, back in the day when we started out, you know, and this includes you, Byron, that I really feel that there was a belief that we had the interest of the community at heart. I don't get that anymore. You know, I mean, you have a lot of lip service where people in the media will say, yeah, we're out here to support you and push your agenda. But, you know, you knew where to go to get information that basically reflected our feelings and our opinions back in the day. And it's unfortunate that it's a money game, and it's all been silenced to a certain extent.
But, you know, I'm talking about Wayne and Byron. I want to know, how many other black radio stations are there?
As many as there used to be.
Well, you have raised a very interesting question, Kay, because I was, as you were establishing where this conversation was headed, I was just thinking, ultimately, the war against us and racism in this country is to not just oppress us, but also to silence us. All of our radio stations, all of our black newspapers. I saw in the paper the other day on social media where Jet Magazine is being forced to sell its archival, photographic archive to save Johnson Publications from bankruptcy. Now, where are those photos going? Ask that question, because if they're not going to the African American Museum at the Smithsonian, where Lonnie Bunch is now the head of secretary of the Smithsonian, we're talking about the loss of our history.
Yeah.
And how do you make up that? Because that's going into a private collection, or it might be even purchased by some white historian who will lock it down and put it in a place where nobody else can see it.
And it would cost it'll cost a penny to get it out. You know, just to it's like they're the gatekeepers again. We control you know.
And so we're being whitewashed. So our news, our history, and when I was running the Queens Historical Society, one of the things that I was encouraged to do was to create a better archival collection of African-American history in the borough of Queens, New York City. Because if it's not in the Historical Society's archival collection, where will the historian get their information to write accurately the information about the borough of Queens reflecting its cultural diversity? Think about that.
That's deep.
So that's a very important part, and that's why I say when John Johnson has to sell his photographic archival collection to get his company or his name out of bankruptcy, that's the loss of our history. And then where is that history? It's gone. Nobody's protecting it. Nobody's preserving it. And the same thing with our black radio stations. You remember this, guys. BLS had a good competition right before, 2 weeks before the 2016 election. Remember, what did they do? They bought out the radio station, was the competition to BLS. And next thing you know, 2 weeks before the election, it became a sports channel owned by Disney.
Yeah.
That's what happened in New York City.
That happened long before. That happened long before. You know,
but it did.
2016,
you're right. It happened yes, it did. It impacted the media's, our community's media information.
I agree. And I think the thing, I said that, about a month ago, a couple of months ago, I was so angry, and now I don't particularly care what comes of what I have to say. I was offered a job to go back, and I had a chance to look around and see, what was going on there. And when I compared what it looks like now with what we went through, and to know that anything that KU did, I did, and others who worked hard to make that company, or not the company so much, but the call letters, what they are today, somebody has profited on the work that we've done, and they've purchased the intellectual property of anything that we've done. And it deals, this is exactly what Byron's pointing out, that, there is a price, and the gatekeeper controls the show. And it's almost like as if, this once, the Johnson publication, was once in the hands of black folks. And and unfortunately, we have to look at ourselves with a long, hard, measuring stick as to why is it that when we create these successful institutions that for some reason or another, either familial greed or jealousy or whatever, that these institutions only last a certain generation, and there's no follow up, or there's no one being groomed to take it on to another cycle or another group of demographics that would be in basically continuing the message that was once started, by us. I mean, it's that we know that we all can't live forever, but the bottom line is that there's no reason why our work could not stand for something, And that's the deal.
Wayne, are there any more black radio stations on the air?
But they're not in this market.
Hold it.
You're talking about black owned and operated.
Wayne, let me talk. Because I am not a station. This is Kay Thompson Live on the internet. And people have called me saying, where are the black radio stations? And they say, you're the only one. I said, I'm not a station. This is a private enterprise. This is Kay Thompson Live. And I'm on the air. I'm on the internet. Okay,
and Kay, right now there are 335 black radio stations in the country today. My good statistician Francois Craig looked it up while we were in conversation, and so he's discovered that there right now in this country is 335 black radio stations.
And they're considered urban stations.
That's it.
Right, and they're considered urban stations. And
where are some of them? Let's give them Wait a minute, guys, listen. Let's give them some help. You're saying only 300? Is that what you're telling me?
335.
What did you say? Say it again.
335. 335.
Black radio stations. Black-owned
radio
operators.
Black-owned.
Jesus Christ. We should be supporting them to
That would include the FM and the AM. Because most of our major stations are on FM stations. So there's still AM local stations that are operating almost under the radar. But, yeah,
right.
According to the statistics, there are 335 black-owned radio stations in the country.
Can anyone take a look back and see what the number was in 1999 or 2000?
Hold up, Wayne. So, in other words, what we are saying is K Thompson Live, not related to any big radio station now at all, is one
yes.
of the few stations or few shows or few shows on the internet, on the computer.
Yes.
In existence, one of the few. What does that say to us about our community?
Yeah,
what does
it
that
says
say
we
about
are underrepresented.
We have no voice in our community anymore.
That's right. No voices. The drum is the only voice that we have, and even that's being culturally misappropriated. So we really have a serious problem in terms of how do we communicate the truth and get the truth in the minds of those who need to hear it. And then you know, thank goodness for the HBCU college radio stations, because their licenses are limited in terms of how much they can do, because most of them are owned by the HBCU institutions themselves. So their bandwidth is limited, even though like CAU, Clark Radio Station, and HUR here in Washington, D.C., we're a major market. But look how limited where you have to go to find them on the bandwidth, and they are trying their best just to hold on to their license and the colleges themselves. So we're under attack. This is not just, you know, voter suppression. Black people are under attack 365, 24/7, every day of the year.
You know one thing? This is pathetic. You know?
It is.
If I can do it, if I can get myself on the internet, on my computer, I'm sitting here right now in front of my computer. I'm not going to say where my office is, but I've been on for a pretty long time. Prior to that, it was on WLIB, BLS, Canal 47, television in New Jersey, down in South Jersey. I forget the number of stations, all right? If I can do it, anybody else can do it. I'm sitting in front of my computer, you know, in my office here.
Well,
I am not a national station, but I have people listening nationally, and believe it, internationally.
That's right. You may recall one of the things that led us.
Wait a minute. I'm talking to people internationally, okay?
Yes.
And why in the world aren't any other stations, black-owned and operator, on the air? Why aren't more people interested in broadcast journalism? We give out the messages of what's happening in our communities. We are an important source of information to the black community, and not only to the black community, to the world. Comments?
One of the things that I'm encouraged by, and as a historian, I'm recognizing the real value of the Underground Railroad. Remember this. We play a significant contemporary role as part of the new Underground Railroad Express. We have a platform. We are literally getting the message out that you can't get on the major networks, and this is part of the new Underground Railroad, so that we must continue to keep leading people to freedom and to freedom land. And remember this, historically, what was the Underground Railroad and its significance? Making sure once they left the plantation, they were given access to health, medical, food, and transportation and information how to get to freedom. Now, part of our job in the new Underground Railroad Express is to make sure they understand how to stay free, okay? Because once you break that bondage, you got to learn some new skills that you weren't taught on the plantation, how to be
free. Listen, Byron, you know, the Underground Railroad, fine, you know, that's history, okay? I'm not underground, okay? I'm not underground. Wait a minute. You're not underground. Wayne is an underground, okay? Mal is an underground. Eric is an underground. My daughter Lisa is not underground, okay? So where are the other people wishing or wanting to establish stronger lines of communication to our families, you know, to us, to African American people? Where are we? Busy watching basketball? I have loved basketball. I've watched. But I also like talk radio. I want to know what's happening in our community. I want to know what's happening to other African-American people and all peoples, okay? So how can we help that? How can we encourage people to become more involved in black radio, in black television, in all, you know, all the other nationalities? This is depressing, really, you know?
The only thing I can say to that, Kay, it's a money game. It's a costly proposition, and once we start, if we don't get the support that we want, it becomes a problem, and that's it. And I don't think that has changed because it is costly to start one. But I think the support would be there. I still think that, you know, in a town like New York, as diverse as it is, you know, we still have a need to have a voice, and our voices should be heard. There's no progressive wing of on the radio band to speak of. All you hear is conservative talk when you tune in, and that's entertainment. And I think the problem is that the lines have been blurred now, because you'll have a news network, a cable news network, that will put people on who basically are focused on entertaining and projecting a certain agenda. They're not journalists.
Yeah.
You know, and some of them are legal minds that have represented districts in New York. But the bottom line is that these people are not journalists in the true sense, and the ones who are journalists working for the conservative media, you know, the lines are blurred. You can't distinguish one from the other sometimes, and I think that's a problem. And our good friend Mr. Francois, our new friend Mr. Francois, pointed out, you know, Reverend Sharpton, and I'm not saying there isn't a need for his presence there, but there should be more people of color, not just a handful that you see, or someone who's been, you know, basically promoting an agenda, you know. And it's unfortunate that it's a money game, even with that, you know. We all had a hand in his rise and his success, you know. So we have a right to comment about how we see things as they are today. And this is not professional jealousy. You know, at my age, I'm not looking to get up 3 o'clock in the morning and do the things that I used to do 35 years ago.
You don't have to get up in the morning, Wayne Gilman. You know that. You can do your show right from your house.
Yeah, but the bottom line is that, you know, there should have been a baton passed to someone younger. There should have been.
No. But Wayne, what you have to say is important. It's always been important. And you, Byron. And also, who else is on here? Eric is on, you know. Yeah. Anyway.
I'm
serious, you know. You know, journalism is still such an important part of our community. Okay?
Right.
And we've got to encourage more people to go into journalism. And if I can do it, anybody can do it, really. Okay? All you have to do is have nerve enough to... and listen to the radio, listen to television, listen to friends like you, Eric. My son, of course, and you, Wayne, and you, Byron, and who else is on the air right now? I forget. That's fast. Who? Anyway, whoever else
Francois.
Is on the air right now. No,
Francois.
Who are you?
Yes.
Whoever you are. But thank you for coming on the air. And believe me, you know, we have to get more people involved in journalism in our communities. You know, we are the source of information sometimes, helping to save a lot of lives. You know, and believe it or not, you know, you guys have played a very, very important part in bringing the news to our communities. Do you realize that? Wayne? Byron,
I hope so.
Now, yeah.
I keep working on it, you know, and the impact, as you say, because so much of it is money driven, is why we have to find a method like this, internet radio, which is global, and so many people are working outside of the networks, like filmmakers who filmmakers are starting to have a voice that's not being controlled by the studios, and they're making an effort. Ava DuVernay is one of those voices who's risen to the top. Chandra, what's her face? You know, I mean, we are making a mark, but we have to start making,
but we're not being paid for it. We're doing it because of the fact that it should be done.
But it's okay though, because $1.7 trillion is spent annually in the Black community. How much of that is going towards preservation and history? How much of that is going towards communication? You see, because if it wasn't for News One right now, and people like yourself and Wayne and Mr. Martin down there in Texas and others,
and you
and me and Joy Reid, who are really stepping up and making some bold commentary
and
in the
Eric.
Face. And Eric, that's right. So we have our soldiers. We're out here. And we're not to be silenced, but we must keep pushing the message and driving it, even if it's about writing a post note and put it on a building and say, wake up. Isn't that what we did?
Yeah, wake up. Oh, wake up. That's right.
We have to wake up.
Wow.
That's true.
Yep.
You know.
Wasn't that in Spike Lee's movie?
Do the Right Thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here, 30 years later,
and
it still applies.
Thank you for joining me. You know, I say really thank you all for joining me each and every week. Because I would pay you if I could. First of all, I'd pay me to be perfectly honest with you. But anyway, thank you. I'm thanking you for people listening in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Indeed.
And,
for all who are paying
attention.
And what
we need to do. And what I'm going to be seeking now is, I think maybe we should monetize this, okay?
Yeah,
because we are spending our time
to
bring news to our community, you know, and now we should start thinking in terms of benefiting financially from it. And I leave you with that message, really, you know. But I thank you guys because you have been there, You've been there for the public, and you do your job. When you've been around a long time, you're only 900 years old. So.
Yeah, I feel it too. Suddenly, I don't know why, but
Byron, don't you live?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Hey, listen, I know. Believe me.
But you know, this is important stuff that we do because you know we get to stories that no one else has.
That's right.
You know,
that's
and
exactly.
Sometimes we know things, and you know, we still know things. We do know things,
yeah.
And sometimes maybe we'll reveal all that we know and shouldn't know, and don't know want to know really. So.
Well, I think what we do is like a labor of love. You know, it's not to say, you know, that obviously if it could be monetized, that'd be one thing. But I also feel that, as Byron pointed out, you know, in a way, this is a resurgence of the Underground Railroad from a completely different perspective. We're keeping people informed. And that's it. It's a different era. It's a different way of communicating and getting the word out. And it should not be minimized because there are a lot of people who listen to internet radio just as much as they listen to satellite, you know?
Yeah,
a lot
exactly.
of people.
Exactly.
I live in a diverse community, and I hear stations from Guyana, stations from Trinidad, stations in Mexico, Canada, all sorts of places, and they're all on the internet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You just have to be... I'll never forget a couple of years ago, a friend of mine took me driving one weekend, and we went all the way out to the Hamptons near the Montauk Point from New York, and we were listening to Kay Thompson live. It almost it sounded as if we were listening to WLIB. I mean, it was just amazing. The clarity.
Well, that was when I was in the Hamptons, living in the Hamptons. Also.
Yeah, you know, so it and there was no interruption, no atmospheric interference or anything like that. It was clear as a bell.
Yeah.
So there's something to be said about the internet.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh. Now that we're finished fussing.
Well,
somebody
see, the work is still to be done.
Listen, somebody send us a couple $1 trillion. You know?
Yeah, we need to go fund me.
Exactly.
But
Byron, to your friend who was just on, what was his name again? Francois Craig. And he is from?
Yeah. He's from Charlotte, North Carolina. He's from Charlotte, North Carolina, and he's now living in Washington, D.C., and works for the office of OMB with the federal government. He trains federal employees how to navigate the system to get their GS, higher GS employment for better pay, and he's excellent at it.
Mm. Well, if he is interested, I'd like to have him on again. And his information is priceless. So, and just let me know.
Like you and Wayne and myself, Francois is a foot soldier. He worked with the King family. He worked in Atlanta, Georgia. He worked with Mayor Campbell in Atlanta. I mean, Francois has his family is engaged in much of the history of this country. So,
Now listen, we're running out of time. But the people who keep me going are my kids, like Eric. Eric is not here. My son Eric Payne and Lisa Payne and Christy Payne.
Yeah.
So, and got a lot of family. Christy?
Yes, we do. That's it.
Eric, Lisa. Gina passed.
And then, and your extended family like me and Wayne. So
right. Yeah.
You've been around a long time.
I have to refer to her as my, I don't know if I should call Kay Big Mama or Big Sister. Last weekend it was Big.
If I was sitting there right now, I would smack Big Mama. How dare you? Gwen, you're fired.
I see Trump has rubbed off on you already, Kay.
If you did you that again, I will hang up on you. And I'm telling you, and I will never speak to you again in life. Plus the fact that I will be talking about you badly.
Oh, boy.
But I forgive you.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Listen, we're just about out of the time, you know, but thanks for coming
all
on.
Right.
And thanks for sharing.
Thank
and thanks to your friend who was on that you brought
Francois.
On. I forget his name. Wayne.
Yeah.
Francois.
Thank
okay.
you. Indeed. And peace and love.
Everybody,
all
every way. Wednesday, listen to Kay Thompson Live here on Kay Thompson Live.
All the best.
That's it.